From Heathrow to Soho, how Melissa Mash created the brand she wanted to exist. At 24 years old, Melissa Mash was handed the keys to a problem most operators would spend a decade working toward. Coach had just called. Heathrow Terminal 5, London. The store was strategically critical to the brand's entrance into Europe, and it just wasn't working. There were inventory issues, team dynamic issues, security bottlenecks, visual merchandising. Everything needed to be fixed. She reported directly to the president of Coach International. For most, that would be the story. But for Mash, it was the training. Years later, the same operator mindset would shape how she built Dagny Dover into one of the most recognizable modern bag brands in the entire country. Education as execution. When Mash returned to business school, she did not treat it like a reset. She treated it like an incubator. Supply chain classes became factory introductions, trips became sourcing opportunities, and independent studies became brand blueprints. She focused deliberately on product innovation, pricing, operations, and the mechanics of building something physical in a category defined by high minimum order quantities, or MOQs, and long international product timelines. The early samples were, by her own admission, terrible. The first quote-unquote office was essentially a room full of boxes. Production happened up the street in New York's garment district in what amounted to be a glorified sample room. The team quality controlled bags themselves. The launch party arrived, the website crashed, but they took pre-orders anyway. The moment would define a core principle that would define the company's future. Prove people want it before you perfect it. Prove demand before you scale. Bags are expensive to make, and the MOQs are high. Production often requires a ton of overseas partners. If the product does not resonate, the downside is real. So Mash and her co-founders asked better questions. Not, quote unquote, would you buy this, but more targeted questions designed to uncover behavior and real demand. They ran pre-sales, gathered a ton of data, and treated early customers like collaborators. They validated before scaling. And even in those early days, that discipline paid off. Pre-sale momentum gave them leverage to raise their first seed round. Instead of betting on hope, they bet on proof. The mindset was simple. If people want it badly enough, they will show you. The neoprene inflection point. The breakthrough moment came from observation. On a trip to Vietnam, a material sparked something. Neoprene, structured like leather, but lighter. It was durable, washable, sporty, and aerodynamic. It was 2017, and athleisure was reshaping how people dressed and moved throughout the world. Neoprene felt modern, cross-generational, and practical without sacrificing style. The brand's identity crystallized around that insight. And retailers began calling. Nordstrom, Equinox, Bloomingdale's, Dick's Sporting Goods, showrooms in Beverly Hills, campaign placements in Times Square, features across New York's visual landscape. Today, Dagny Dover sits in hundreds of retail locations nationwide. But wholesale was not an afterthought. It was a strategic decision made early, even when others were skeptical. Distribution was not just about volume, but it was about how brand acquisition allowed others to tell the story alongside them. Brand is built in public. What separates Dagny Dover is not just product, it's participation. For its 5-year anniversary, the company opened a massive space in Soho for a week and invited customers inside. Dagny Summer Games featured mixology classes, workout sessions, family activities, and a My Superpower Is wall where attendees wrote their strengths for all to see. It was not an influencer event. It was an open invitation. You can sit with us became the unspoken ethos. The brand has appeared in subway stations, on billboards, during New York Fashion Week, and even as a Sephora gift of purchase for nearly 200,000 VIP customers. But behind every activation sits a deeper belief. Invest in the people telling your story. Retail associates, team members, customers, each one became an advocate. As Mash shared, one of the most important things a founder can do is never let the energy die. That energy fuels the teams. It fuels community, and it turns product into movements. Building for decades, not seasons. Dagny Dover has evolved far beyond its original tote, its original work tote. The collections have expanded, but the intent has not changed. Products are built to last. materials are chosen carefully, feedback is evaluated thoughtfully, and not every review demands a reaction, but consistent feedback demands attention. The goal isn't trend chasing, it's durability, relevance, and function for the long term. And throughout the journey, the team has grown roughly to 40 people across the country, anchored in New York. Culture is not incidental. It is infrastructure. At the Female Founders Forum, Mash distilled her journey into a single line. Life isn't about finding yourself, it's about creating yourself. There was no single breakthrough moment. There was Heathrow at 24, there were bad samples, there were barely functioning websites, there was materials discovered on a trip to Vietnam, there were risks taken in wholesale, but each decision compounded. So for founders, use your education intentionally. Validate with behavior, not hypotheticals. Prove demand before scaling production. Let distribution amplify your story. Sustain founder energy. It compounds. From Heathrow to Soho, the through line was never luck. It was design. She didn't wait to discover who she was supposed to be. She built it.